Message entitled, Is God a Racist? That's a great question. It's a fair question. Every time you turn around, the subject of race sticks its head up. You can't even have a presidential election without continual reference to race and racism. I'll be honest with you, I don't know exactly what a racist is. There are almost as many definitions of racist and racism as there are people. However, in a general sense, racism is anybody that hates somebody else for no other reason than their skin color or national origin. You just don't like them because they belong to some particular group. That makes you a racist. Now, having said that, the question is God a racist? The emphatic, unequivocal answer to that is no. God is not a racist. That's the end of that subject. That's all I've got to say about it. Racism is hating somebody for no reason. Therefore, God is not a racist. He is, however, a segregationist. And that's the real issue. And in our world, if you are a segregationist, that's the same as a racist. Now, hopefully, God willing, I'm not a racist, and I hope you're not. To hate somebody, to hate a group, simply because of some characteristic that you don't like or understand or approve of, not only narrow-minded and barbaric, it's ungodly, it's unconscionable. I mean, I know some black folks and some yellow folks. And the truth is, all the people I know have some things in common. For example, if you take a black man or woman and cut them, they bleed. If you hit them, they hurt. If they have children, they want the best for them. You say, well, I know a bunch of black folks or yellow folks and they're not raising a kid. I know a bunch of white folks doing exactly the same thing. Amen. They ain't a dime's worth of difference if you go that way. I know some of the sorriest parents on the face of this earth are as white as a snow cone. Amen. You say, well, I know a lot of blacks, and all the ones I know are bad. Well, I tell you what, I know a lot of bad white folks, too. They just is sorry and no account, low down, trifling, won't work, lazy, shiftless, lying piece of white trash you ever met in your whole life. So if you want to compare good to bad and this, that, and the other, I just throw them all in the same pot. There ain't a dime's worth of difference. That's not what we're talking about. Most things that you think about, black folks, yellow folks, white folks, they all want to make a decent living and have a good life. Amen? Black folks want their kids to turn out good. White folks want their kids to turn out good. Yellow man wants his kids to turn out good. Amen? We all want to own our own house. We'd all like to have a nice car. We always want, all three races want to eat good. So, in all of those respects, there is no difference. Yet, when you look at us, it's obvious to the most casual observer that we're not all the same. Amen? Now, down south, down here where you and I live, when you talk about racism or segregation, the only thing on the table is black and white. Now, the Bible is a segregationist book because God is a militant segregationist. But the issue isn't just black and white. It's black and white and yellow. And the restrictions on integration apply to all races, not just black and white. Down here in the South, some fella marries him a little Filipino girl. You know, he's in the Navy or something. He goes over there and he meets him a pretty little Filipino girl. And boy, some of them are beautiful. And he marries her and comes back. Nobody says a word. But if he married a black girl and brought her back, we'd just have to be hell to pay. Now, that guy's a bigot and a racist. See? Truth is, we already got upset about the yellow guy and the black guy. They're both wrong. So when I talk about segregation, I am not talking about just black and white. I'm talking about black and white, black and yellow, yellow and white, any combination thereof. Now, when I decided to do this, because it's been so newsworthy lately, and Barack Obama's pastor made it blatantly obvious that he is a racist and that he hates white people. And he's been spewing race hate from his pulpit to his people for 30 years. And a lot of the negative attitude about whites from blacks who have always had a pretty good life, who have never been slaves, who have never known slavery, or any of the rest of that stuff, the reason they hate whitey is because of people like Barack Obama's pastor. They are just sowing hate year after year after year after year. Now, I don't want to do that. I don't think God wants us to do that. That Bible said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's black, white, and yellow. Amen. That Bible said, whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. That's black, white, and yellow. Amen. So, God's not a racist in the sense that He hates any race. God made all races. But God is a segregationist. So when I thought about doing this, I decided I want to do it from a perspective differently than it is normally done. I want to lay a foundation on biblical separation or segregation that everybody will agree with, everybody will see, and everybody can understand. And then we will make that transitional leap to the race of men. But we'd start with something simple, something easy, something everybody can buy into. Get us all on the same page. It's going to make it a much harder for you to disagree when we make the leap. So, first of all, let me lay down this evening the basic principle of biblical segregation. God is, and I'm going to show you that, God is a segregationist. Now, I want you to take your Bible and go with me. You can write these verses down in the margin of your Bible or whatever. And when we go to the first one, then just write down beside of it the next one, see? And you can create your little chain. And if you'll write this first verse down in the front of your Bible, when this subject comes up, you look down there and say, segregation. And it gives you that first verse. And you can turn to that, and then the next verse will be written right beside the first one. And you'll have all the verses that deal with this subject so you can explain it to anybody that's got a problem with it. How's that? Alright. First verse. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19. Leviticus 19, 19. Alright, we'll read this thing together. In Leviticus 19, verse 19, the Bible said, ye shall keep all my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt sow thy field, shall not sow thy field with mingled seed, neither shall the garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. Now, there's three things in that verse. God said, don't let your livestock crossbreed. That word, when it says, let your cattle gender, that means to breed with divers or different kind. Every farmer knows that's good advice, every cattle rancher. I mean, you may have an old milk cow out there and you can just cut her throat and bleed her and eat her, you know, and she'll give milk, but she's not near as valuable, and she's not near as tender, she's not near as productive as a full-blooded Guernsey or a Jersey or a Charolais or a Santa Gertrudis or whatever it is. The ones that are worth the most and the ones that the most productive are the ones that are pure-blooded. Amen? So right back there in the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, third book, God said, don't let them mix. Got it? All this stuff about pure bloods and keeping the bloodline pure, that's a good idea. That's a biblical concept. Amen? Then it said, don't let your cattle gender with a diverse or different kind. Don't sow your field with mingled seed. Don't sow your field with winter wheat and summer wheat. They don't grow at the same rate. They don't produce the same. They don't cross-pollinate good and all that. He said, don't do that. Put one kind of seed in one field. Why? Well, because if you mix it all up, it's not going to produce like it should. It's not going to be as healthy and hearty as it should. It won't give the bounty that it should. And you're going to lose money. And the crop that comes forward not going to be worth much. Then he said, and then don't put on these clothes that are mingled of linen and woolen. He said, your clothes you put on ought to be of one fabric. Now, linen comes from a living thing. Wool comes from a living thing. Anything that's been alive is supposed to be pure. Just that simple. God wants everything segregated. Don't mix. Why in the world do you think God made it separate and distinct in the first place? When you mix it and mingle it, you're messing up God's creation. God could have messed it up Himself. He said, I made it that way because that's the best it can be right there. This is the prototype. This is the top of the line. This is the way it's supposed to be. And if you do anything to it, you're going to weaken it. You're going to make it less than it could have been or should have been. Don't do that. And so, in that one verse there, you have the breeding of livestock, the planting of crops, and the making of clothes are all segregated. You've got to admit one thing, buddy. God paints with a broad brush. Amen? Then in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 8, 9, or 9, 10, and 11. This is your second reference. Write Deuteronomy 22 right beside Leviticus 19, 19. And then you'll know right where to go. 9, 10, and 11. Here's what it said in Deuteronomy 22. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts as of woolen and linen together. Now look at what that thing said. Is it don't... plant your vineyard of different seeds. You can't put green grapes and Concord grapes in the same place. Takes different kind of soil. Takes longer for one to grow and develop. One produces more sugar than another. They're not the same. He said, so you can't plant your vineyard with different seeds in it. You got to put one kind of seed in there and grow one kind of grape. God is segregating all the fruits and vegetables on the planet. Don't put them together. Segregation is the law of the land. Look what it said. He said, if you mix them and they come up, it said the fruit, that is, what the vine produces, is defiled. Got it? He said it was defiled. It's not pure. It's not as God intended. It is not all that it could have been. It is not all that it should have been. Because it got all mixed up and it's not clean in God's sight. It's defiled because it's mingled. God said, don't do that. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 24, next reference, put that right beside Deuteronomy 22. Genesis 1, 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. So now here we've got three verses, and here's what God has segregated. He's segregated your crops, the fruit, the animals, the clothes, the bugs, and everything that lives. And he said that anything that was mixed was defiled. That's what you get out of them three verses. God even wants the bugs to stay clean and pure. The creeping thing. Cockroaches ought to breed with their own kind of cockroach. Amen. I read a thing about cockroaches one time. I read a lot of weird stuff. But they said cockroach was one of the oldest living things on the planet. That the cockroach was over 300 million years old. And that there's over 200 different kinds of cockroach. Well, if all them cockroaches just got together and had a breeding fest, and it's what it looks like sometimes, there would only be one kind of cockroach, mingled. I mean, if it's had 300 million years to get all tangled up, there wouldn't be but one kind. You couldn't tell them apart. You know what they've been doing? Them cockroaches have been breeding after their own kind. Say, why? Because that's what God told them to do. He said, let them bring forth after their own kind, and it was so. Nature did what God told it to do.
Amen.
Amen. Now, this is a basic, fundamental principle of all living things. So why do you stop at living things? Because non-living things don't reproduce. That's why. You don't have to worry about the rocks. They're not going to have a baby rock. He said, well, I'll tell you what, boy, we're all living in violation of that right now. Because how many of y'all got on clothes with more than one kind of fabric? You got on cotton and polyester, whatever? We all guilty, right? I'm not. My shirt's cotton and polyester. But I haven't broken the commandment. Haven't broken the principle. Say, why? Because polyester never was alive. It's living things you don't mix. Got it? Got it? Okay. Don't let it get away from you. All right. Now, here's an example of something mixed. Any of y'all got any farmhand experience? I remember one time I was down in Mississippi and we was deer hunting. And down there it's real brushy country. And you can't use like a 30-06 or something. You just never get a shot that long. So you either use a shotgun with buckshot in it or something like a 44 Magnum with a thick, heavy slug that can get through the brush. Well, I was hunting with I had a little Ruger 44 Magnum carbine, and it's getting late and it's getting hot, and I'm headed back to the truck and I'm walking through the brush, and I come through the brush, and right when I pushed the brush back, I took the gun barrel and pushed it like that, and when I stuck my head through there, I was face to face, I mean this far away, with the biggest, ugliest, nastiest mule you ever saw in your life. Huh? Scared me slam to death. I almost killed that guy's mule, boy. I mean, I was backtracking and cocking all at the same time. Whoa! That sucker was big, and he was ugly, and he smelled bad. I had to sit down and catch my breath. Now, he said, why'd you tell that story about that mule? Because mule is an animal that didn't practice segregation. A mule is a combination of a horse and a donkey. And he's got the temperament of the one and the strength of the other. But He's sterile. Mules can't reproduce. So what happened? Well, they mingled their seed, and it's defiled. See? It can't reproduce itself. And I say that to say this, that anytime you mix something, there's a loss. Every time you mingle seed, there's a loss. You say, well, it has this characteristic, it has this characteristic. Yeah, but this thing here had that characteristic anyway. What you wanted to do was get this characteristic and this characteristic in one creature. Problem is, now you've got the bad characteristics of both in that one creature. There's always a net loss when you violate God's rule. God's rule is segregate, 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 and everything will reproduce after its own kind, and everything will be exactly what God Almighty intended it to be. If you mingle it, if you mix it, if you take away the segregation, then you are going to denigrate whatever it is that you mingle. God is clearly the segregationist. Does everybody see that? I mean, you don't have to be a genius. You don't have to have formal education. You ain't got to have a doctor's degree to get the principle. Now, I could give you more verses, but I've got other things I need to talk about. So I just give you enough to illustrate without question that that's how God operates. Amen? From the very beginning, God has wanted to maintain the purity of every line of everything that God created. Well, that's okay, preacher. You're talking about grapevines and planting your corn and your cotton and raising your hogs and your pigs and your chickens. I got no problem with that. But mankind, now we need to get together. You know, the world would be a better place. Things would be better if we could just get together. Really. Really. If the principle is segregation and God applies it to the lowest form of life, to the bugs and the worms, do you think that it would not apply to the capstone of His creation? Let's look and see. All right, so from Genesis 1:24, your next place that you need to pop up to would be Genesis chapter 2. And verse 7. Now, we're going to deal here in point number 2 with the segregation of the races of man. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, we have one man. And the Bible said, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. We started with one. Got it? Now, boy, you don't have to worry about no segregation here because ain't nobody to segregate. You don't have to worry about no integration either. Because there ain't nobody to integrate. You ain't got but one dude. Amen? You got Adam. Now, God makes Adam a wife, and He tells him to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish, and all that. And so Adam gets busy having young'uns. Having young'uns is as normal and natural as breathing. That's what boys and girls do, man. We get together, and we reproduce. Amen? Now, when you get down to Genesis chapter 10 and verse 1, right beside Genesis 2:7, right, Genesis 2:1. In Genesis 2:1, we find that Adam has been busy and he has three sons by name. Now, he's got sons and daughters, and there's a whole bunch of them, but he only has three children by name. Genesis 10:1. Now, these are the generations of the son of Noah. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Noah's got three boys by name. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now there's a reason God gave the names of these three, because these are the three that God is going to use to populate the continents. And these are the three that God is going to use for the three races of mankind. And so, He's going to give you these three fellows, and then He's going to give you a lot of history about these three fellows so that you can see clearly that all the races of men came from these three boys. And somebody's going to say, well, how come out black, and one of them came out yellow, and one of them came out white. That's a whole different discussion. That's a whole different Bible study. For the scope of this study, we don't need to know why God made one black, one yellow, and one white. There are as many theories about that as there are theologians. See? Now, the Bible does, I think, give us the answer, and it's an interesting thing. But we're not interested in why we have three races. What we're interested in is, since we have three races, how do we treat each other? That's what we're interested in. Okay? And so we're not going to spend any time on how come Shem, Ham, and Japheth are black, white, and yellow. I just wanted you to understand that they are. So how do you know that? Okay? I'll tell you how we do that. In Genesis chapter 10 and verse 2, these, the sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog. And in Genesis chapter 10 and verse 6, and the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, Phut, and Cana. In Genesis 10:22, and the children of Shem, Elam, Asher, Axrod, Lud, and Aram. Now those are the three sons, and that's their sons after them. So why is that important? Because those three sons can be traced through the Bible to find out where they settled and what people dwelt there. For example, take and look back there in Genesis chapter 10 and verse 2. It said, the sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog. Alright? Now, if I take the time, if I will take my Bible, I can prove that Japheth is white and that he settled in Europe and up in the Caucasus Mountains around Russia and the Black Sea and up through there. How do you do that? That's found in Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 6. When you go over there, you find Gomer, Germany. Okay. You look over there and you find Tubal. That's the name of a major city in Russia. You find, what was that other boy's name? Magog. Do you know where? Over in Ezekiel 38, it talks about Gog of Magog. You know where that's at? That's up off a Russian border, them white Russians, up there in the Caucasus Mountains. Matter of fact, they still make pencils up there today. And on the side of every pencil that comes out of there, it says Gog of Magog. You trace the sons of Japheth, they are all white men. And they settled Europe and that part of the world. You can trace that on any historical map in the world, but you can all find, most of it in Genesis, in Ezekiel chapter 38 and down through there. Now here's Ham. Now he said, and the sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Phut, and Cana. Well, you see that word Cush there? That's the word for black. And Mizraim, if you were over in Egypt today and picked up a newspaper, that's the word for Egypt. Not back then, still today. And that Cana, remember them Canaanites? The Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, all those guys, all those people are descendants of the Canaanites. They're all black. Say, so how do you know that? Well, because if I look over in Psalm 107, Psalm 106, verse 22, it said, and God did wonderful things in the land of Ham. Where did God work all those miracles? Well, He did them down in Egypt, did He not? You know what Egypt is? That's the land of Ham. So all those descendants of Ham are the black races, the darker races. They're Hamitic in origin. And so you got white guys that come from Japheth. You got black guys that come from Ham. What about the Oriental, the yellow fellow? That's Shem. How do you know that? Well, in Genesis chapter 11, verse 27, it gave the name of the descendants of Shem. And by the way, if you go back and read all that stuff, you'll find that Shem was supposed to be the religious guy. He said, cursed be Cana. And Japheth's in the largest tents. And they're both supposed to dwell in the tents of Shem. We all get our religion from that same Oriental fella. Jew is an Oriental. If you look back there, you see that word Aram? Those are the descendants of Abraham. And so in those three boys, and I don't have enough time to spend on it, but if you do the research, you can see, and you will find, if you read any of the older history books, and I don't read the new ones because they're changing stuff, the historical revisionists are rewriting all the history books. But if you read some of them old ones I've got, every historian in the world explains it just exactly like I just gave it to you. Shem is the Oriental. That's where you get your religion. Japheth is white. That's where you get your conquering and your inventiveness and your killer. Your race is the killer race. And then you have Ham, Cush, the black race, who has always been the laborer and the burden bearer. And I'm not here to discuss the rightness or wrongness of any of that. I'm just telling you, historically, that's the way it's always been. Amen? Now, so, we have three races. Anybody that looks around can see that. I've got a picture here in front of my Bible. I wish all of y'all could see this. I can't get it out where you can see it. But I've got a picture of three little babies. And they're sitting there just naked as a jaybird. And one of them is black. One of them is white. And I'm talking about black and lily white and yaller yaller. And I've got written over the top of them, Step and Fetch It, and Yamasota, and Von Soden. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And ain't nobody in the world can look at them three babies and get them tangled up. Amen? All three of them kids in that picture are pure-blooded. And, buddy, they exemplify the characteristics of their race. And we don't look alike, and we don't smell alike. We're different. Now, by the way, I didn't say we were better or that they were worse. I didn't say that. When you say that something's different, doesn't mean it's inferior. It doesn't mean that you are superior. It doesn't mean you have any right to look down on. Your race has got its strengths and its weaknesses. And the Oriental has his strengths and his weaknesses. And the black man has his strengths and his weaknesses. And in God's plan, all those strengths and all those weaknesses are programmed into the picture. We need all three to get it done like it ought to be done. Amen? Amen. Now, so we got Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Step and Fetch, and Von Soden, and Yamasota. Black, white, and yellow. We got them on Africa, Asia, Asia Minor, Europe. God spread them out. Now, what about the segregation of the races? God separated the bugs. God segregated the cows. God segregated the clothes. Did God segregate mankind? Yes, He did. Here's how He did it. Number one, He segregated them by skin color. Japheth is obviously white. Ham is obviously black. Shem is obviously yellow. And you just used the verses I gave you a minute ago for Ezekiel 38, Psalm 105, Genesis 11. That'll give you all three colors. Now see, a lot of people stop right here and they never go on to get the whole picture. Well, why are they black? Why are they yellow? What was the reasoning? That's not the issue at the point. The issue here is, how do we treat each other? How do we get along with each other? How do the three of us occupy the same planet without killing each other? Which is obviously what God intended. He put us all three here. And He's restricted us to this one little pile of dirt. So somehow or another, we ought to be able to stay here and not kill each other and not hate each other. How do we do that? Well, first we segregate by skin color. Secondly, we segregate by language. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 7 and 8, the Bible said, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon all the face of the earth. Now, they were trying to build the Tower of Babel. They said, go to, we've got slime and mortar and this, that, and other. Let us build a tower that may reach unto heaven, blah, blah, blah. And maybe you've studied the ice canopy theory and all that stuff. And there's a lot of interesting stuff. Anybody ever read any of that stuff? Well, whether it's true or not, immaterial as far as this discussion is concerned. It probably is, by the way, but whether it is or not, it's immaterial. We've got these three races. And God said, they're trying to build a tower up to heaven. And if you read the narrative, they said, go to, let us, we've got this, we've got that, we'll, lest we be scattered abroad on the face of the whole earth. Not one reference to God anywhere in that thing. It was all about man, 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 man. The world of the mankind in Genesis chapter 11 are humanist. Amen. Nothing new under the sun. And God said, I don't like that. Let us go down and there confound their language. Do you know who's scattered in God? You know why people can't get along? You know why they can't converse? God did it. He tells you He did it. He's proud that He did it. He advertised it. He's not ashamed that He did it. He said, I created three races. I created them different. And they're trying to get everybody all together. He said, they're trying to thwart my plan. I just go down and throw a wrench in the machine. And so He came down and He threw a wrench in the machine, stripped all the gears out. And they up there building on that tower one day, and this yellow fella down there looks up at that white guy, and the white guy said, I need some more mortar up here. But what this guy down here was, blah, 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 blah. He said, what'd he call me? And that black guy said, blah, 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 blah. What? Well, he takes that brick and pop that guy upside the head. And man, in about 30 minutes, there was so much confusion because nobody understood each other. They're trying to kill each other. And so they left off to build the tower. And then the people that spoke black ease went that way. And the people that spoke white ease went that way. And the folks that spoke yellow ease went that way. And God scattered them upon the whole face of the earth. And so you got black guys over here speaking this language, and yellow guys over there talking that way, and white guys over here talking that way. And God said, good job. Then what did He do? Now, so we got black guys, white guys, and yellow guys. And then we got guys who speak this language, that language, and that language. And then what did God do? As soon as they got all scattered all over the place, the Bible said, they not only segregated by skin color and language, he's segregated by geography. Genesis chapter 10, verse 25, and unto Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. So God's got these three boys that are the progenitors of three races. They speak three languages. They got three colors. And they go three separate ways. And as soon as they do, God breaks up the earth. Now, it's pretty much certain that at one time in distant past, there was only one big landmass. The dry land, singular. There wasn't seven continents. There wasn't islands in the sea. There was water and one big chunk of dirt. But because these people wanted to get together and leave God out, God drove a bunch of them over that side, and a bunch over that side, and a bunch over this side, and then He just busted that thing all up. So now, what has God done? God has segregated. He put all the black guys over there, and He separated them from the white guys and the yellow guys. They can't get together. They can't get together because they can't understand each other. And they can't get together because they don't look like each other. Suspicious and mistrustful of folks that don't look like us. And they can't get together because they ain't got boats to sail across that 3,000 miles of water. So they are isolated and segregated. And God said, that's the way I want it. Blame it on God. Do you know what you do every time you have try to have the United Nations? The first United Nations back there in the Genesis chapter 10. And God said, I don't like the United Nations. I'm against all this nonsense. He said, and now Nothing that they've imagined to do will be withholding from them. He said, they all get together. There ain't no telling what them fools will do. So to prevent that, I'm just going to isolate them. I'm going to segregate them.